Today, more on the first homeowner bribe. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The federal government released further details about the administration of its first home loan deposit scheme last Sunday, with a 7-day period of consultation, which is now in hand. You may recall that late in the election campaign prior to the federal election, Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced the coalition's first home loan deposit scheme, the FHLDS, as well as, at the same time, all but promising that home prices would rise under a re-elected coalition government. The scheme is to be administered by the National Housing Finance and Investment Corporation, the NHFIC, which commenced consultation with stakeholders in September. But until now, there has been very little information about the scheme, and that has changed because the Morrison government has now released for consultation the National Housing Finance and Investment Corporation Investment Mandate Amendment Direction 2019, containing new information regarding its first home loan deposit scheme. And from this latest release, we now know that the $500 million scheme is designed to provide first home buyers earning up to $125,000 or $200,000 for couples with a significant leg up by making available to them 95% loan-to-value ratio mortgages should they have a deposit of at least 5%. Those income bands, by the way, are well above the median for Australia. And the government has proposed that applications for loan guarantees be subject to property price caps, in addition to income-based restrictions, which will vary between capital cities and large regional centres, with a population of over 250,000 and regional areas. So in New South Wales, there's a price cap of $700,000 in the capital cities and in the regional centres. The median price is around $805,000, and there's a cap of $450,000 in the rest of the state. In Victoria, there's a price cap of $600,000 in the capital cities and main regional centres. The median price is around $635,000, by the way. And there's a cap of $325,000 in the rest of the state. In Queensland, there's a price cap of $475,000 in the capital city and also in the range and regional centres, while the median price is $492,000. And there's also a cap of $400,000 in the rest of the state. In Western Australia, there's a price cap of $400,000 in the capital cities and main regional centres, and the median price is $436,000. And in the rest of the state, there's a cap of $300,000. In South Australia, there's a price cap of $400,000 in the capital cities and main regional centres, while the median price there is around $428,000. And in the rest of the state, there's a cap of $250,000. In Tasmania, there's a price cap of $400,000 in the capital city and main regional centres, while the median price is around $425,000. And there's a cap of $300,000 in the rest of the state. In the ACT, there's a price cap of $500,000 against a median price of $604,000. And in the Northern Territory, there's a price cap of $325,000 against a median price of $389,000. So in each case, you can see that the price limit is below the median price in each area. Now, the direction does not specify the manner in which applicants will be selected. However, upon the release of the proposals, Minister for Finance Matthias Cormann told the media that there is no specific number of guarantees per jurisdiction and that approvals will be on a first-in, best-dressed basis. And the government has also proposed eligibility criteria for the selection of credit providers to facilitate loan guarantees, According to the government's direction, credit providers will be selected on the basis of, first, the lender's standard of customer care, including their treatment of borrowers in financial hardship, the competitiveness of loan products offered by a lender for the purpose of the FHLDS, including interest rates and other fees, the quality of a lender's loan origination process and the associated level of financial risk to the Commonwealth, the reputation of the lender, the extent to which a decision to approve a lender will promote competition in lending markets and related markets, and the extent to which all the lenders approved for the financial year, when considered together, can undertake credit activities, including through other entities providing credit services across Australia. Moreover, the government revealed that the Big Four banks, including the subsidiaries, will not be permitted to facilitate more than 5,000 loan guarantees in each financial year in a bid to enhance market competition. These rules are designed to ensure the government's expectation that smaller lenders play a significant role in the First Home Loan Deposit Scheme to boost competition is met, the direction reads. And interested parties have until Monday the 4th of November to comment on the draft investment mandate amendment and associated materials. And yesterday, APRA says it proposed to adjust capital requirements for FHLDS, saying that in the light of the government's proposals, the Australian Prudential Regulatory Authority is proposing to adjust its capital requirements for authorised deposit-taking institutions, banks, to support the FHLDS, recognising that the government guarantee is a valuable form of credit risk mitigation. APRA is proposing to reflect this in the capital framework by applying a lower capital requirement to eligible FHLDS loans. And APRA stated that it intended to give effect to this lower capital requirement by adjusting the mortgage capital requirements set out in the Prudential Standard APS 112. Specifically, APRA proposes to allow ADIs to treat eligible FHLDS loans in a comparable manner to mortgages with a loan-to-value ratio of 80%, which would allow eligible FHLDS loans to be risk-weighted at 35% under APRA's current capital requirements. And APRA added that once the government guarantee ceases to apply to eligible loans, ADIs would revert to applying the relevant risk weights as set out in APS 112. And APRA has invited feedback on its proposals, which will be subject to a 2-week public consultation. And the government also released for consultation a consequential amendment to the Australian Securities and Investment Commission's regulations to exclude guarantees issued by NHFIC under the First Home Loan Deposit Scheme from the definition of financial products. Now, we expect that there will be a rush when the scheme opens. And judging by past schemes around the world, two things will happen. First, demand will outstrip supply of loans under the scheme. Secondly, home prices in areas where people will use the loan to get into the market will rise by the net benefit from the loans. All boats in the harbour will rise by the same amount. So it'll be interesting to see if the 10,000 cap is lifted later, and precisely the pricing banks will offer on these loans given the 80% capital cap and the government support. And the fact that half will be made only available through smaller lenders, not the Big Four, at the margin may change the competitive dynamic, but we suspect not dramatically. But finally, it's worth remembering that such schemes in the UK have led to more households being caught with mortgages they couldn't afford when they tried to switch from the scheme, so potential applicants should be very careful. But as we said before, the government's fixation on using house prices as a main economic lever, rather than the use of other fiscal measures, is due more to their religious belief in delivering a surplus than it is a genuine attempt to help first-time buyers into the market. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.